Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. We'll be picking up on page 52, and with a note, a quick note, that the phone lines are not open today. Let's get underway. Here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about moving from fear to faith in life, and that's so important, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is what moves us from fear to faith. We come into this world filled with all kinds of fears, but underneath all of them is this one basic fear, this one core fear, and that's fear of God's punishment. We saw that last week as we looked at the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. Their first response to God after they had sinned was one of fear. They hid from God because, as Moses wrote in that passage, they were afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of God's punishment. Well, they've passed on that fear to every single one of us. And when we sin today, when we engage in evil behaviors, that taps into that fear, that surfaces that fear in each and every one of us, and we're afraid to approach God because we think that when we do, punishment is going to be what we receive. So we're fearful of that. And that's where we have to come to grips with what Christ accomplished for us at the cross and what the purpose was and what his ultimate end was. And so we're going to start today on the top of page 52 with a passage in Colossians 1:22. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. It's in verse 21, it said, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." All of us understand that. Like I said, that evilness, those sinful activities, that taps into the fears that we have. And so we feel alienated from God, and we feel like we're God's enemies, ready for a fight, you know, just that rebellious attitude. But, and this is verse 22, "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation." So when we look at our evil behaviors, we feel like an enemy toward God. And when we look at God as our enemy, we miss the truth. And the truth is that God himself wants to present us to himself without blemish and free from accusation. And he does that through the physical body of Christ. "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight." So what is God's disposition toward us? How does he see us? What is his end goal for us as people?
To be holy in his sight.
To be holy in his sight. To be without blemish and free from accusation. That's where God wants us to be. Yeah. And that happens through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So if you look at that, do you see God as your enemy? I don't think so.
You can't.
He's doing everything to bring us together as one, to remove those barriers of hostility so that we can be on the same page with one another and in harmony with one another. Friends. That's what God wants, is for us to be friends. And he does that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, in 1 John, we see a passage that I think is one of the most meaningful passages in the Word of God. It's 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. And here the apostle says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." You know, so often we hear people saying, "Oh, I just love the Lord. I just love the Lord." And it's all about us and our disposition toward God, what we're feeling toward God. But the only reason that we would ever love God is because he's loved us first.
Right.
Any love that we have for him is a response to the love that he has for us. So it's not that we love God, but that he loved us. And that's the key, is he loved us even when we didn't love him back, even when we were still sinners. He still chose to love us. And here's how he demonstrated that love, in this, that he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, or as the propitiation for our sin. So how did God show that he was and is for us according to this passage?
He sent Jesus to take care of it all.
Absolutely. Now, if you have an NIV, you should see a footnote on that verse. And in the footnote, you will see an alternate reading of 1 John 4:10. And it reads this way: "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the one who would turn aside his wrath, taking away our sins." I don't know why the NIV just didn't put that in there, because that is a powerful rendering of that verse. And I think it's a very accurate rendering of that verse. So based on this rendering, who took the punishment that you justly deserved, or that we justly deserved?
Jesus did.
Jesus did. So have your sins been judged and punished?
Yes.
And the answer is a resounding yes. So that wrath that was directed towards you because of your sins was turned aside and went upon Jesus. He took all of God's wrath on himself in your place. That's what it means that he died for your sins. That's why the gospel message, as Paul wrote it in 1 Corinthians 15, is this: that Christ died for our sins.
Yes.
He turned aside the wrath of God. So that's the love of God. And it's that perfect love of God that casts out fear, that drives out that fear. And this is a passage that we've read a couple of times already, but it's worth repeating. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So what is the perfect love of God? How did he demonstrate that perfect love toward us?
In Jesus.
In
the whole sacrifice, the whole gospel message, death, burial, resurrection.
Right, absolutely. So in that, we see the love of God in action, fully demonstrated, on full display for us to see. And so as we look at that, as we see it for what it is, as we respond to it in faith, that love drives out that fear that was a part of us as a result of the original sin with Adam and Eve.
Yes.
That's good news. So if you're living in fear today, if you're walking on spiritual eggshells, you need to really take a look at the cross and see that that was a demonstration of God's love. Receive that love and allow that love to drive out that fear, so that you can stand before God with utter confidence, that you can be bold in approaching him, knowing that you are fully loved and accepted and holy in his sight, without blemish and free of accusation.
Yeah.
That's good news, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Yeah. So there's another fear that we deal with as well, and this is in Hebrews 2:15, and it says, "And to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." So if you're afraid of punishment, of God's punishment, what is God's punishment?
Death.
Death. So you're afraid of physically dying because you know that once a person dies, then comes judgment. Well, if you are still in your sins, what's that judgment going to be?
Oh, permanent death.
Permanent, eternal separation from God. You know that to be true. So we had this fear of punishment, which really tapped into that fear of death. I don't want to die because I know judgment is coming after death, and I don't want to be judged according to my sins, because if I am, I know I'm history. I'm just toast. I'm eternally separated from God. So the fact that Jesus tasted death for us, the fact that he stood in our place and turned aside the wrath of God from us toward him, frees us of our fear of punishment and our fear of death. Talk about an amazing story.
Yeah. Look what God did in the gospel. Jesus died. There's the once and for all victory over death. Jesus rose again. There's the once and for all victory over death. Those two fears are gone.
Yes.
All that's left for us is this imagination this fear that he's going to punish us. And that's the thing that we come back to him again and again and again and consider that love that he has given to us. That's how we keep driving it away, because Satan's going to bring it back every chance he gets.
Yeah. So anything that you're thinking as far as God is concerned, any of those thoughts, take them captive to truth.
Yes.
Bring that thought, put it down on paper, and then put it right beside what the Word of God has to say. Mm-hmm. And you will see that that thought that you're having about God's punishment, what God may be thinking about you, is not true.
Correct.
It's not in the Word of God. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. So if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, reject it. You know it's coming from a different source, your enemy. And your enemy is trying to stir up fear and to cause a division between you and your Lord. Truth will erase that.
Yes.
And will draw you close, just right into the very arms of God, regardless of what you're going through. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may be going through the worst sin in your life, struggling with that. But if you know truth, that truth will draw you into the arms of God with a sense of confidence, knowing that God is for you and that he will walk with you through that.
Yes.
and deliver you to the other side where you can really be on that path of righteousness.
Yes.
So that's what this truth is all about. Bring every thought that you have captive to the Lord, and as you do, you will see that fear cast aside, and you'll be left standing on the solid rock of God's love and grace. No better place to stand.
I'll say. Well, friends, you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday Study Series from the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis, and again, we welcome you to the study today. I have a question for you. Would you like to end your struggle and receive what God has freely given? Would you like to enter into true freedom, assurance of your forgiveness, and victory over sin? Would you like to experience the power that raised Jesus from the dead to live and love the way he did? Well, it's all here in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And with direction from the study guide, it's a great opportunity to go deep into the truth of God's Word. Again, just visit basicgospel.net/teaching to order your copy today. Again, that website, basicgospel.net/teaching. Bob, back to you.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we still have this question remaining, because in life, temptations come our way. Yep. We have fleshly desires still hanging on. We still have sin living in this flesh of ours. We have a world system that is against mm-hmm. us as children of God. It's not for us. It's anti-Christ. It's a system that is the complete opposite of the way of grace. And so we're going to fall. We're going to sin. And there's this question, well, what do we do when we sin? And that's where fear kind of surfaces and tries to control us, to dictate what our response to God needs to be. Well, if we're responding to God out of fear of punishment, I can guarantee you that whatever we're doing isn't right, and it's not going to bring about the desired result. So you can let fear be the driver in your life, and it is going to drive you away from God, not toward God. So we have to ask questions, you know, what are we going to do when we sin based on the love of God? But I think a better question to ask is this: what does God do when we sin? And if we will understand what God does when we sin, then we'll know exactly what we're supposed to do when we sin. So we're going to look at seven things for the remainder of the broadcast today, this teaching session, and look at what God actually does with us when we sin. Now, don't be frightened, because these are all good things. These are all positive things.
I will smite thee.
Oh, I knew it. So the first thing, I mean, we've been talking, you know, extensively about the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Well, the first thing that Jesus is going to do, or God's going to do, is remind us about the shed blood of Jesus, and to remind us that we stand before God as forgiven people. We can count on that. And here's the verse. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. 1 John 2:12. Love, love, love this passage. Because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So what is God the Father going to do when you sin? He's going to remind you of the shed blood of Jesus, and that because of the shed blood of Jesus, that your sin, that sin, the very one you just committed, has been forgiven on account of his name. So how are you going to respond to that?
Oh, you have to say thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. The other thing that happens when we sin is we start feeling separated from God. Yeah. We even start to wonder, am I really a child of God? Well, if you're saved, you're a child of God. And this next passage, Romans 8:15-16, what does Paul tell us that God is going to do is in this particular set of verses?
It's perfect in this conversation. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. That's a done deal. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. No break in the fellowship. None.
None. None whatsoever. No. And that's a big thing to realize, because there's a lot of teaching out there that says when you sin, you're out of fellowship.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm out of fellowship, what do I have to do to get back into fellowship?
Yeah.
Well, this verse tells you that you're never out of fellowship. God's Spirit is never going to stop bearing witness with your human spirit that you are a child of God. You will never be at a point where you can't cry out, Abba, Father.
Yes.
That is a permanent, eternal reality. And so what happens when you sin? The Spirit of God is going to testify with your spirit that you truly are a child of God.
Yes.
You can count on that.
Yeah, it can't be undone.
And again, how do you respond to that?
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I think we're going to have a sevenfold thank you going
Here. Yeah, I think we are. I think we are. The next thing is God's going to show us the consequences of our sin. Now, you know, when we come into this world, we're selfish. We're self-centered. The world revolves around us, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, our parents had the joy of telling us time and time again, you're not the center of the universe. and it takes a lot of time to figure that out, but we finally do. We get humbled, and we realize that Jesus is the center. He's the one that holds this thing together, and everything revolves around him. And so we start seeing that we're a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. And so our eyes move away from us and onto the Lord and then onto others.
Yes.
Well, I think the same thing happens as far as sin is concerned. You know, when we were lost, sin was all about us. Okay, oh, I don't want to get caught. And if I do get caught, you know, I don't want to suffer the consequences. It's all about what's going to happen to good old me. Well, our punishment has already been dealt with. Jesus took that for us. So now we're able to see objectively how sin affects others. So God is constantly moving our eyes away from us onto others. And so we see how that sin, how that action may have affected someone else. So I'm constantly, you know, after I say something harsh, reminded that those harsh words probably didn't do Gina a whole lot of good. They probably didn't make her feel very good. And I go back and say, I'm sorry I was so harsh. That's not what I wanted to do. Well, the grace of God, God himself, allows us to see that, not in a sense of condemnation, but in a chance to really love those that you've done damage to, that you've harm to bring about reconciliation. So love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So we get to see how sin affects others, and we get a chance to be moved by God to go and make it right with others. They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in our holiness. So God disciplines us. Now, his discipline is on us at all times.
Yes.
It's not just something that gets into play once we've sinned.
It is not punishment.
Absolutely
not.
Now
you're going to get it. It's not that.
No, it is not punishment at all. So God is constantly teaching us. He is constantly showing us his way of grace. And he wants us to see that in our relationships one to another. So that we can participate in his holiness,
yes.
So that we can live out this good news of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We can extend forgiveness. We can receive forgiveness. We can, be reconciled. We can receive reconciliation for others. So that's what we get to see. That's what God is all about. The next thing is that God teaches us to say no to sin. We read that in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and then how to live righteous,
yes.
upright lives in this present generation. And the end result is people who are eager to do good. So there's this constant discipline, this constant teaching that God is about in our lives. And then he teaches us how to put off the old self and then to put on the new self. So I like to call it, a continuum of repentance. So
yes.
When we come to Christ, we see the plan of God, just right there before us, that everything that God has in mind for us is right there in the person of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Life, new life, abundant life is him, is Jesus. Forgiveness is in Jesus. Righteousness is in Jesus. Everything is right there. And so there's a turning away of our old life, mm-hmm. of who we were as sinners, spiritually dead folks. There's a turning away from that toward Jesus. And there's a continuum of that as we grow in grace and our knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So we're constantly putting off the old and putting on the new.
Yes.
And God is at the source of that. He is compelling that to happen in our lives. Then he gives us this incredible promise. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. So what does God do when we sin? He doesn't make that good. He doesn't make what's evil good. He uses it to work it together for our good. So that's what God is doing when we sin. And then he commits himself, he's always committed himself to this, that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ, until the day of Christ Jesus.
Damn.
So God is going to complete the work. Our sin doesn't deter him from doing what he's promised he's going to do. He said that he is going to conform us to the image of Christ. And guess what?
He's
going to conform us to the image of Christ. So he's going to remind us of that. So there were seven things that God does when we sin. They're all good, aren't they?
They're all good.
And I think our only response can be, Lord Jesus, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And coming to that point where we just utterly rest in the finished work of Jesus, recognizing there's absolutely nothing that we can do to add to what Christ accomplished at the cross. When he said, it is finished, that's exactly what he meant. Receive that, folks. Let it soak deep within your heart and soul and give you a sense of rest in what he's accomplished. And you will live every day of your life in thankfulness for what the Lord has done and pouring out his grace on you.
Well, thanks, guys. And friends, thank you for joining us for the study edition of Basic Gospel. Remember, to get your copy of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book and study guide, just visit basicgospel.net/teaching. We encourage you to go online and order yours today. Again, you'll find them at basicgospel.net/teaching. Well, thanks for being with us again today, everybody, for Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.